Sex is the life force energy that runs through us all. Can you use sexual energy for your spiritual evolution, or perhaps for emotional healing? Is it even possible? Clinical sexologist Dr. Martha Tara Lee will explore all these and more on Eros Evolution on OM Times Radio.
Hello, hello, and welcome to Eros Evolution. This is where sexuality and spirituality meet. My name is Martha. I'm a clinical sexologist based in Singapore, and my company is called Eros Coaching. That's EROSCoaching.com. How are you this week? And I was supposed to have a guest come on to today's show, and he pulled out earlier this week. And instead of getting different guests and scrambling, I decided to do something I haven't done before. I looked through all the past shows that I've done, and I decided on a whim, really, after sitting on it for about 1 hour or so, being undecided about what to talk about this week, I decided to talk about my best sex stories. I have been sharing my sex stories for quite some time now, publicly, and it's because as a sexologist, sometimes when I run workshops, people don't really feel comfortable with sharing their own stories. So by modeling and sharing my own stories, I illustrate a teaching point, or I do so to really get the conversation going. I also do so to illuminate and bring life to the point that I'm sharing at that moment. So I thought today that I would share my very best sex stories. Okay, so let me explain a little bit more about myself. I'm a Singaporean Chinese, born and bred in Singapore. Some people assume that I have lived abroad. I have not. When I was pursuing my doctorate in human sexuality in San Francisco, it was over a period of 2 years, and I commuted back and forth. Each time that there was a trimester, I would go back. So I'll be in San Francisco maybe for 2-3 weeks and then come back to Singapore. So I haven't really lived abroad, contrary to what people assume. And so I really consider myself truly born and bred in Singapore. And what I did not expect was to experience grieving and reverse culture shock when I moved back to Singapore. Well, I didn't actually move away, but I actually experienced grieving and reverse culture shock when I started my practice. And I think what happened was I was okay with having culture shock. That was pretty, people expect that to happen. And I did went through it. What I didn't expect was the grieving and reverse culture shock that happened as I really began to ground myself and start my practice. So in this no holds but show today, I'll be talking about my attitudes around, hopefully we can go through it all: oral sex, masturbation, sexuality, spirituality, porn, relationships, aging and disability. And if I can't go through that all, then maybe I'll do another show in a few weeks or months' time. Okay, so last week I actually talked about sexuality and spirituality. It was my sixth recap, and I recapped the past 12 shows. If you're interested to find all my shows, you can go to Google, Eros Evolution at a Glance, and you'll be able to come to this link that has at one glance, just scroll up and down, all the past episodes. Today is episode 89, and let's get started then. Okay, I want to talk about my sexual attitude that was formed, and a lot of it I didn't know until later. A lot of it was influenced by my mom. Of course, growing up, I would be curious about sex and how I was born. I would ask my mom how it was like being pregnant, and also how it was like having sex. And my mom would never really tell me the baby making process in specific words. She would say it in a very crude way, such as she didn't even use penis, she just says the man would just stick himself into you, in dialect, and that's very crude. Then I would ask her, how is it really like? How does it feel? And she would give me a little smile. So people assume because I'm a sexologist that I must have open-minded parents. I do feel that I have parents, especially a mom, who is a little bit more open-minded than other people. However, I don't think that I had any more sex education than a lot of my counterparts. So when I asked my mom about sex, directly or indirectly, well, I'm quite a direct person, so I just asked her directly. And she would never really answer me fully, but she would smile. And it was those moments that I realized that I'm never really going to get a direct answer from her. However, the little smiles that she had gave me the interpretation that sex was something pretty amazing and wonderful. So I really looked forward to growing up. And that really kind of shaped the premise of sex for me, because I always anticipated it to be something good because my mom smiled when we talked about it. Okay, that's kind of how it shaped my attitude to sexuality. The next story I want to talk a little bit about is my relationship with my body influenced through my mom. My mom would used to walk around the house naked. That was me and my sister back then only, and before my brother came. And being little kids, we would try to shame her. We would say in Mandarin, xiu xiu xiu, 不要脸, you know, and don't you have any shame, cover up. And my mom would say in Mandarin, you know, that we came from her body and therefore there's really nothing to be ashamed about. And she refused to be shamed in her own house about her body. So she would say, 这是我的家,我... 有什么害羞的? 你们是从我的身体出来的, you know, you came from my body, there's really nothing to be ashamed about. And we just could not get her to be embarrassed. And back then, it was really a little bit bewildering for us. And it wasn't until after she had breast cancer and she started to cover up. And I didn't even realize that I missed that strong, brave mom who walked around the house naked with no apologies. It wasn't until I went to my school, which my sex school, which is the Institute for Advanced Study of Human Sexuality, and there was this module where we talked about sex and disability, sex and illnesses, and there was this speaker who offered to the whole class of about maybe, maybe less than 15 of us. And she said, well, this is my bionic boob, the part that she's had plastic surgery after having had her breast removed. And she asked the class whether we would like to feel the difference between her natural and bionic breast. And then I just couldn't help but started crying. Made me realize that what she was offering to the class to see, to touch her boob, was something that I miss of my mom. After she had breast cancer, she would just start covering up. Well, nowadays, my mom is a little bit less conscious about being nude in front of us and at home. I think she is a little bit more comfortable with being naked. She has had her right breast removed and she has had plastic surgery on it. Back then, about 20 years ago, it really wasn't that advanced, and therefore, even though she's had plastic surgery to reconstruct her missing breast, it really doesn't look the same, not like that bionic boob that my classmate had. So for that, I really got impressions from my mom of how there is really nothing to be ashamed of with my body. And so this really influenced my own relationship with my body. My body is good, my body is strong, my body serves me and takes care of me and supports me in all the things that I want to do. And I haven't had to have any life-threatening surgeries or reconstruction that my mom had to go through. And even when she did, she was still proud of herself. And so I draw a lot of inspiration from my mom. I did have body image issues growing up. I had baby fat. I had geeky glasses, and for a time I used to perm my hair. So I ended up looking like a poodle, and I was called the ugliest girl in school. I was bullied by my classmates, and I was definitely the ugliest girl in school. I have to admit that, because with all those things going on, I would look at all the other girls in school, and none of them really looked quite as bad as me. Oh yeah, I also had really bad acne at the same time. So the combination of what you can't change, your baby fat, your acne, and on top of that, having to wear really awful glasses, and I could have done something about it, but when you have had your hair permed, it really can't be straightened that quickly or easily. So yeah, I was the ugliest girl in school, and that really affected my body image and perception of what beauty means. Okay, so we have a break now, and we'll come back and share more stories.
Your conscious lifestyle on steroids. OM Times Radio. IOM FM. Host your show on IOM FM, the radio network of OM Times Media, one of the more recognized brand names in the conscious community, and is backed by the extensive marketing reach of OM Times. Hosting a show on IOM FM immediately connects you with our extensive, dedicated community.
Hi, I'm Kelly Fox, host and astrologer of The Astrology Show. Each week, I'll give you access to the current transits, which are a valuable tool that provide astrological information to help unlock the potential each of us has. Understanding the stars can help steer us in the right direction to make better informed choices. So if you're wondering what's going to happen in your week ahead, be sure to tune in to The Astrology Show for guidance, Mondays at 9 p.m. Eastern Time.
It's 6:42 p.m. Time for Steve Plato and his son Dylan to do the dishes. They talk about everything from the yuckiness of girls to the awesomeness of his soccer team. Sometimes they don't talk at all. Then, hey! The dreaded splash fight. It's dad o'clock, and it's the best time of the day. Because the smallest moments can have the biggest impact on a child's life. Take time to be a dad today. Call 877-4DAD-411 or visit fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
And welcome back to Eros Evolution. This is where sexuality and spirituality meets. My name is Martha. I'm a sexologist and I'm your host. In today's show, I am sharing my very best sex stories. And this came about because I had a guest who was missing and decided, instead of trying to run around trying to get somebody and stressing myself out, I would talk about something that I haven't talked about. Just before the break, I was talking about my mom, and my mom actually plays a big part in my relationship with my sexuality. We pick up messages that we don't realize until we grow up, how much our parents really influence and shape our relationship with ourselves, with the world, when it comes to romantic relationships. I believe I have a more positive sex attitude because of my mom. She would give little hints that sex was something to look forward to growing up. The second thing that I shared just before break was about how my mom would walk around the house naked and make no apologies of that. And that gave me little inclinations of the fact that I should also be proud of my body. And in fact, after going through my puberty of having body image issues, of having acne, baby fat, geeky glasses, and a hair like a poodle, and being called the ugliest girl in school, I slowly came into accepting that nothing can be as bad as that phase in my life. And so I have, over the last few years, of course, gone past that. And there are many people who consider myself beautiful. And I consider myself beautiful, definitely on the inside, and on most days, also on the outside. One of the things that did happen from that ugly period of my life is that even though I consider myself beautiful and other people consider myself beautiful, I still have some body image issues. And it really didn't come about until a couple of years ago when I was having a conversation with my best friend. My best friend does have some fat. She is not exactly the slimmest person, you know, in our culture. Being slim is just very much part of the norm. And so she's not exactly the slimmest person. She's a little bit plump. And we were having conversations about boys, of course. And she said, you know what, Martha, I find this very strange. I am not beautiful by any means. But unlike you, I have confidence that if I want a guy, I can get him. I don't understand. You know, you're not fat. You are actually quite pretty. I don't understand why you actually don't have the confidence that you can get any guy. And that really struck me that I still had some leftover issues coming from my ugly period. Okay, so anyway, this is my few body image stories. When my mom first had breast cancer, one of the things that came up was she woke up from surgery, going in, thinking that she was going in for a biopsy, and realizing when she came to that she had a breast that was missing. Her breast cancer was much more advanced than had expected, so she woke up with her right breast missing. That really affected her. I went to the hospital to visit her, and I see her vomiting and crying at the same time. And a part of me, the young me, back then I was 19, an immature 19-year-old, thinking, you know, just be grateful you're alive. What's the big deal? You have a breast missing. That doesn't shape or change who you are. You're still my mom, and you're still a woman. Back then, of course, I was very childish. I was judging my mom. And now I realize my breasts are a big part of my sexuality. I have very sensitive breasts, and I can have orgasms easily. Breast is also, now I know as a sexologist, connected to our cervix. And breast stimulation does help us with our arousal, not to mention our identity as a woman. So I know all that now. Back then, I judged my mom. And when she had a relapse about 8 years ago, her breast cancer is now in stage 4. I actually, for a time, was not supporting her and not talking to her about her breast cancer at all. When she went into surgery, because she had like a lump near the hip, which is totally separate from her breast cancer, I saw how my mom is so strong and determined to fight for life. That was when I overcame my fear, because I realized my mom doesn't want pity. What she wants is respect. And that was really the start of me supporting her through the hip surgery and gradually now mending my relationship with her, bringing her out for meals and having the relationship that I have with her today. Just a few days ago, I was talking to a friend about my bloated stomach. I have a highly sensitive body. I have a lot of food sensitivities, including to dairy, to gluten, and I didn't realize until a couple of years ago. And so I was talking to my friend about how I continue to have this bloatedness, and he asked me, because we were talking about it, whether I talk to my stomach. And of course I realized that I don't. So immediately after that conversation with my friend, I lied down, I put my hands on my stomach, and I asked my stomach what was really going on. And within seconds, grief started coming up. The powerlessness of being around my mom and seeing my mom suffering, having gone through 4 rounds of chemo, and having numbness in her arms. All this affects my sense of powerlessness around this situation. So for those of you out there who are listening and who have difficulties and pains and illnesses and whatnot, it is important to spend a little bit of time talking to your bodies. And for me, my bloated stomach, I feel, has to do with a lot of power issues. Anger around being a woman, anger around being objectified and sexualized as a sexologist, being harassed through my work, having people do power trips on me. All this has affected, gone directly into my stomach. I have tensions in my stomach, and when my stomach is not relaxed, obviously it's causing problems with my digestion and might be linked to the bloatedness that I am feeling. And as we know, bloatedness is connected to inflammation within the body. If you're interested to hear or watch more around my relationship with my mom, I do have some videos that I have posted over the years, and you can subscribe to them. Okay, there's this link. The first one is eroscoaching.com/Mother's Day. I made 3 videos for Mother's Day sharing my own relationship with my mom and how her breast cancer has affected me, and also linked to my sexuality we have just shared. So if you like the long version of it, then go to this link, eroscoaching.com/Mother's Day. I have also posted my masturbation story as well, and you can subscribe to it by going to eroscoaching.com/masturbationmonth. Okay, so now let's talk about masturbation. I first learned how to masturbate when I was 5. I learned it from my sister. My sister came to me and said, no, if you take the bolster, which is basically a long pillow, you take the bolster, you put it between your thighs, you rub it along your nono or your private parts. Nono is Malay for private parts, your genitals. I didn't even know this. I thought it was a dialect word, but it's not. Okay, if you take your pillow, rub it against your genitals, and you tighten your thighs around it, and you rub really hard, after some time you feel really good. So my sister actually taught me this when I was 4 or 5. That was definitely before I went into primary school. So I tried it and tried it. I didn't feel anything. I didn't believe what she was saying to me. So I made her demonstrate to me. And I was like, yeah, I was doing that. So I went back and I just kept trying. So that's how I actually had my first orgasm without even knowing it was called an orgasm. After having had a few orgasms now, I realized that this may not be so good for me. I'm still a little kid. And all that heart palpitations and orgasmic feeling that I was experiencing may not be so good for me. So I decided to ask my mom, as a trusted adult, what that was about. I didn't know how to explain it to her. So I found the right opportunity while she was watching TV, lying on the sofa. I waited for a commercial break, and then I said, hey, Ma, I want to show you something. I can't explain it to you. I just need to demonstrate it to you. So I was lying on the floor, and she was on the sofa, and then I was next to her. So I said, okay, so this is what my sister has been showing me. And so, you know, put the blame on someone else. And I said, she does that, and then she says it feels really good. And my mom, to her credit, looked at me, and say, oh yeah, that's normal. Masturbation to my mom is normal. Unlike some of my clients who have had their parents tell them to stop masturbating or to not touch themselves or say things like, you shouldn't be doing things like that. Instead of saying that, my mom said it was normal. And that was a huge part of my sexuality for the next 10 years or so, because as I mentioned just now, I was ugly growing up and I didn't have anybody in my life, any romantic partner or sexual partner. And so I was my own best sexual partner for many years. And that was really how I came to become comfortable with my sexuality. Having masturbated for many years, I was very worried that I would not be able to have orgasm with a sexual partner. And what I didn't know was that through the act of masturbation, I learned how to be comfortable with my body and comfortable with the experience of having an orgasm and the feelings of being aroused. And so when I came to be with my first partner, my first boyfriend, I was actually able to have my first orgasm relatively easy. And that was a big relief for me, considering that I had no sex education and not knowing what was going on. What happens is when you masturbate, you're establishing neural pathways in your body. And when you masturbate in different ways, you establish different pathways, which means you are connecting between the mind and body, a path that allows for the orgasmic energy to flow through, connecting with your brain and therefore results in an orgasm. What I didn't know is my years of masturbation in the same way allows for strong neural connections to be formed, just that one way of masturbation. And when I was learning to be sexual with my partner in different ways, I was not worried because I was comfortable with my sexuality and therefore then able to have my first orgasm. But we have a break now and I'm going to come back and share more stories after this break.
Free your mind with Om Times Radio, IOM FM. Om Times Magazine is one of the leading online content providers of positivity, wellness, and personal empowerment. A philanthropic organization, their net proceeds are funneled to support worldwide charity initiatives via Humanity Healing International. Through their commitment to creating community and providing conscious content, they aspire to uplift humanity on a global scale. Om Times, co-creating a more conscious lifestyle.
Hi, this is Julie Geigel.
And I'm Susan Schuler.
And I'm Carrie Ann Larson.
And we are
the Psychic Angel Channelers
from Angel Talk Tuesday.
Tune in every week at 10 a.m. Eastern on OmTimesRadio.com.
The angels have heard your call and are here to help.
Are you ready to receive?
Bathe in a beautiful vibrational frequency to help you heal, expand, and remember your magnificence with Angel Talk Tuesday.
There is no death, only a change of worlds. Chief Seattle. Deborah Livingston is an award-winning intuitive psychic medium whose international services include mediumship, spiritual assessment, animal communication, and spiritual mentoring. She is a published author and a trained shaman. Deborah provides evidential messages from spirit and departed loved ones. Learn more at devlivemedium.com. That's D-E-B-L-I-V medium.com.
I want to thank my mommy for loving me so much.
For taking me to the doctor when I broke my foot.
For leaving me alone when I wanted to be alone.
And now, as a grown-up, I'm thankful for being able to take care of you, my dear mom. For taking you to your therapies. For understanding that sometimes you simply want to be alone.
Roles change without us noticing. That's why AARP gives you the information to provide even better care for your loved one. Visit aarp.org/caregiving. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to Eros Evolution. This is where sexuality and spirituality meets. My name is Martha, and today I'm talking about my best sex stories. Just before the break, I was talking about how my sexuality was very much influenced by my mom. I just shared my masturbation story. And if you're interested to hear more about masturbation, you can go to eroscoaching.com/masturbationmonth. You're listening to my show on the Omtimes Radio Network, and you can share this show with your friends by going to this link, omtimes.com/mobile. With this link, you'll be able to listen to the show live without needing to download any app. So that makes it really convenient, considering that there are people on iPhone and Android, and so sometimes some applications are not compatible for both. Okay, so I want to go on and talk more about masturbation and sexuality. So what happened was when I was with my first boyfriend that I mentioned just before the break, that I also saw the penis for the first time. And that's not to say that I didn't see the penis ever. I accidentally came across the penis once when I walked into the bathroom where my father and my cousin were visiting the bathroom, and I immediately walked out. So maybe I was less than 10 when I first kind of saw a penis, but not really. And I also saw a penis when I was exposed to porn. My mom actually was watching porn, and she asked me and my sister to come into the room, and she said, "Watch it, you're going to feel really good." On hindsight, I think that was quite inappropriate because we were mentally not even above 7, and we were not even 7, and so we were not really emotionally able to process what we were watching. And the funny thing was, what we watched was really not even appropriate. It was actually turned out to be quite misleading for me. Okay, so in this porn clip that I remember, I mean, we only did it ever like once with my mom. She invited us to watch porn. We didn't know it was porn. She just said, "You're gonna feel good." And so there wasn't really any like real consent. Okay, so in this clip that we watched, there was this man who wandered into the woods, and he ended up having sex with the two daughters and the mom on different nights. And in each of the videos of him having sex with the daughters and then the mom individually, not together, they were giving him oral sex, and his penis started to grow. And when I say grow, I don't mean grow like become like 7 inches or 12 inches. It literally grew in the video. I don't know how they did it, into as long as almost like a bamboo. So for the rest of that time, I just kept thinking through my childhood and my teenage years that when you give oral sex, yeah, the penis grows. That's kind of what women giggle about. Yeah, the penis grows when you play with it. And not only that, the penis grows to like a bamboo where it goes through all your organs, and it might even like hit your heart. So I kind of just thought, yeah, that's pretty much what it is. Until I met my first boyfriend, and then he asked me to play with his penis, and then it grew, right? So then I asked him, "Is it going to grow more?" And he's like, "Nope, that's pretty much it." And I'm like, "Are you sure that your penis is not going to grow more?" Because I remember growing up watching this clip, and then the penis actually grows to as long as a bamboo. And he's like, "Nope, this is pretty much how it is for men." And I was like, oh. So that was this moment of like awakening or enlightenment, that basically I was misled. Because I didn't have sex education, I had very little sex education, I didn't see a penis, I didn't know what sex was really like, and it wasn't really until I was 19 with my first boyfriend I was actually 20 that I saw a penis and played with a penis, and then got clarification that no, a penis does grow, but it doesn't grow to the size of a bamboo. And no, the penis doesn't penetrate all your organs and even hit your heart. And so that was a big aha moment. And that just goes to show that the lack of sex education does affect your perception of what sex is like. So that's a little funny story about the penis, I thought. Another thing that started to happen was I would begin playing with my partner, and then he, of course, he would ask me to start giving him oral sex. And today, now I know oral sex is a big thing for a lot of my clients who are sexually ignorant and inhibited. They think the penis looks a bit weird, funny. They're very concerned about smell, hygiene. They're also very worried about him ejaculating onto her, into her mouth, onto her face. And they're scared about him going out of control. One of the things about being a woman is, of course, that we don't have a penis. And because we don't have a penis, we don't know what it's like. And because we don't know what it's like, we haven't seen penises, like what I mentioned just now. So we are a little bit naturally scared of the penis. So what happened was, when my partner first asked me for oral sex, I didn't actually feel I could say no. That just goes to the show the powerlessness that women generally feel around sex, or the ignorance that we have. I didn't know how to articulate. I was nervous. But I just kind of accepted that this was something that women are expected to do. It didn't even cross my mind to say no. Having watched that porn clip of how good it feels to a man, I didn't feel I could say no. And so in this story, I just want to share my relationship with oral sex changed over time. At first, I was scared. Then the idea of it being like no choice came. And then the hate of being a woman came in. And then I talked, over time, because I have all this resentment about it, I asked myself, how does this support me? Because if I continue to dislike and hate giving oral sex, it's really not going to support my sexuality, especially if I plan to be sexual and, you know, grow up and get married and all that. So then I said, okay, I may not like it, but I think this is something that I just need to just accept and just get used to it. So I continued giving oral sex, and from hating it, not liking it, being afraid of it, I slowly got into a point of getting used to giving oral sex. After a while, it became a point of being a little bit like, you know, like kind of neutral about it. So get used to, then neutral. And back then, you know, there was no internet. There was no books that I could find in the library about sex. And so I really wasn't exposed to much about what else I could do with the penis. So I decided to experiment. And later on in my life, of course, had opportunities to read and research and learn about oral sex techniques. So from hating, not liking, being afraid, getting used to it, being neutral to it, I became curious about oral sex. I started to learn sex techniques. I started to try different techniques on my partners. And then that was when I was told that, oh, it's actually good. I was actually good. And then I started getting praise. And so from all that, I started to love giving oral sex. And now, as a sexologist, I teach oral sex. I actually run oral sex workshops. So I have a handjob workshop, blowjob workshop, a vulva massage workshop. And I'm very passionate about it, because I feel you can only read so much. You can watch porn, and porn is sex education for a lot of people. However, being able to talk about it, laugh about it, joke about it, discuss our attitudes around oral sex or sexuality is such a big part of helping women, men and women, feel empowered. So that's why I keep running these workshops, even though people laugh at me. And I'm sharing this story because I want you to understand that the way you feel about something, whether it's oral sex, porn, masturbation, whatever it is that you are feeling about something, a sexual act or sexual activity, it actually does change over time. And of course, this is the same when it comes to our relationship with money, with power, with being in leadership roles, with maybe public speaking, our relationship with different things changes over time as we invest in it. And one of the ways in which you can invest and shift your sexual attitude, for instance, is to get more education, is to read more, go onto the internet, get curious, get informed, and then that powerlessness and that fear will start to slowly leave you. So what I'm trying to say here is maybe the way you feel about something is only temporary, and it can only shift when you actually get more information and knowledge, which a lot of people don't have. So I love sharing this personal story about masturbation, about oral sex, sorry. I love sharing this story about oral sex because I realize that if you just give it a chance, sometimes you can actually shift from hating something to actually becoming neutral about it and then embracing it and becoming empowered. And this is a big part of what I teach in my work. So I use this to normalize what people are feeling. I don't make them bad just because they don't like something, that it seems weird or abnormal. It's not about that at all. I was there at some point in my life where I hated giving oral sex, and I resented being a woman and being expected to do it. But even then, it did shift for me. And there's so many stories that I have written down here, and we just talked about oral sex, and we talked about masturbation, we talked about my sexual attitude. And for a long time, I separated sex with spirituality as two different things. I do consider myself a New Age person. I've always been very interested in all these New Age things like crystals and smudging, and different things like meditation, moving energy, chakras, and dance. I'm interested in all these New Agey woo-woo things that people consider. And I didn't really see the link between spirituality and sexuality, and that's kind of the reason why I decided to do this radio show, to explore the link. We have a break now, and I'll talk a little bit more about spirituality after this break.
The best of the conscious minds in the world. Om Times Radio, your conscious lifestyle on steroids. The number one reason girls drop out of school in sub-Saharan Africa is lack of access to feminine hygiene products. The Pads for School Girls Project, an outreach of Humanity Healing International, is changing this paradigm by setting up sewing programs at schools, teaching girls a vocational skill, while producing the reusable pads that help keep them attending classes. The girls pay it forward by making and giving pad kits to other girls in need. To learn more, visit humanityhealing.org. Humanity Healing is where your heart is.
Come heal yourself. What is healing? Healing is nothing but connecting with your all-knowing higher self that already has solutions to all your problems and is always there to guide you. Through this show, we help you to connect with that you are and tap into that innate potential you have to transform your life and fly high. Please join me, your host Monica Goyal, every Sunday, 7 p.m. Pacific. Namaste.
Hi, this is Christina Ricci with RAIN. Every 2 minutes, another American is sexually assaulted. If you or someone you know has been sexually assaulted, you are not alone. Help is just a call or click away through the National Sexual Assault Hotline. Please call 1-800-656-HOPE, that's H-O-P-E, or visit rain.org, that's RAINN.ORG.
Brought to you by RAIN and this station.
Welcome back to Eros Evolution. We are into the last 15 minutes of our show today. And so far I've been talking about oral sex, masturbation, sexuality, porn a little bit, and aging disability. through the story of my mom. When I went to sex school, I was introduced to a lot of things that I wasn't exposed to, including having sex when you're older, having sex when you have some form of disability. It could be permanent, it could be temporary, it could be a disability that you are born with. And I realized that our sexuality is a big part of our identity, who we are, what makes us happy, what makes us feel good. And so really these things begin to shift for me. One of the things that I really never thought about was the rights of people who were different from me. And by that I mean people who are gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender, questioning, people who are exploring, people who are asexual, and these are people who consider themselves polyamorous, people who consider themselves kinky, people who are into BDSM, bondage, domination, sadomasochism, play with pain and pleasure, and people into the role-playing, people into dressing up as fluffy, like toys, people who play with toys, having sex, and all these things that I wasn't exposed to, slowly becoming exposed to through my doctorate studies. In the past, we would call these people weird. And in reality, they're not weird. They're just different. We are different. And we are all different, whether we like it or not. Our faces look different. Our bodies look different. Our genitals look different. If you look down there, we are all different. And therefore, the way we express ourselves in our sexuality can naturally also be different. In Singapore, a big part of growing up, when you are very much influenced by your peers and also your environment, your culture, your religion, your community, is fitting in. And we're always comparing. When it comes to sex, I begin to realize there's so much diversity and variety that comparing just really doesn't serve us. And I just wish that there was more freedom than permission that people felt that they had, that they could express their sexuality in just different ways. So I'm just not even sharing a story here. I'm just going into summarizing a little bit because we don't have a lot more time to go into stories. And so when it comes to sex and spirituality, the pathway has always commonly been Tantra. However, through some of the guests that I've had on Eros Evolution, this radio show, hope you realize that actually BDSM, the play with pain and pleasure, can also take people into a very deep spiritual state. And if you're interested to explore more about the link between sex and spirituality, I would like to invite you to listen to the other shows that I've had in the last year and a half. And you can find all the past shows by doing a quick Google search, Eros Evolution at a Glance. I do want to share this story before we sign off for today's show about sexual communication. And it is a huge piece because, as I mentioned earlier, I didn't have sex education growing up. I had to catch up when I went to sex school. I was so sheltered. I was so ignorant that I didn't know what I didn't know. I didn't even think about sexuality when it comes to people who are older, disabled, or people who are different from me, people who are not heterosexual. And so when it came to sexual communication, what actually ended up happening was I kind of figured it out myself. And I want to share this story because it is really relevant to a lot of you out there. A lot of my clients do not talk about sex. Some of my clients who come in to see me have sex, but they just don't talk about it. They end up having sex in the same ways. The only time they hear about sex is when they're giving pain to their partner accidentally. Their partner is complaining. Their partner is telling them what not to do, as opposed to telling them what they want them to do. They don't really talk about their needs, wants, or desires. They don't talk about the different things they would like to but have not tried. They basically have sex but don't talk about it. And what is happening for me was I became curious, how can I get better in sex? Having been sexual for a while back then, I was curious, how am I going to get better at sex if I don't get feedback from my partner? And how am I going to get feedback if I don't ask? So I was in this catch situation where I was shy and I really haven't found my sexual voice in the bedroom. And so I had many partners who complained that I was quiet sexually. I would have an orgasm and I would not make any sounds. And a lot of my partners didn't know that I had an orgasm, and so they kept going, stimulating me. And then that's when I started to realize, why are they still doing it? Don't they realize I've already had 3 orgasms? And then that's when I realized I needed to tell them. And when I did tell them, I have had a few encounters where I had partners who said, no, you couldn't have had an orgasm because you didn't make any sound. I was frustrated, and so I started to fake some sounds, and gradually realizing that sounds wasn't a bad thing. Having had all those years of masturbating quietly, quickly, and secretly, realizing that sound was a form of communication and feedback. And for the sake of my partner, I better start making some sounds. At first it was forced, and gradually over time, I began to become comfortable with speaking up and actually allowing myself to make some sounds. Just some sounds to give them feedback. And because I was so curious about sex and their feedback, I pushed myself to ask them about it. And so I had this secret intent. Every time after sex, I would ask my partner, how was it? What would make it better? I would always ask these questions even before I was a coach. I wanted to ask them because I was so curious, how was their experience like? Maybe they were making strange faces and I thought they were in pain or they were upset or annoyed with me, but maybe they were feeling good and ecstatic, and I wouldn't know what that crunched face means, and I wouldn't know if I didn't ask. So that was the start of me asking for feedback, and I would ask how was it, and all these different men I was with, that was a time in my life where I was sexually more open and exploring and seeing different people, less so now that I really fully understand how sacred sex is and how sex is a energy exchange and a union of 2 people. I'm a lot more discerning who I'm with. Anyway, back then whenever I asked how was it, I noticed all these men, even my casual sex partners, they would be really hesitant to actually tell me. That was when I started to interpret that perhaps they are not forthcoming talking about sex because they may have had negative experiences of being open and vulnerable with their partner. So I would reassure my partners, you know what, it's really okay. I really want to know, and you're not going to say anything that's going to hurt me because I genuinely want to know how it was for you. Because if I don't know, then how am I going to make it better? I did notice that each time I ask how is sex with each partner, they would be a bit hesitant to talk about it. And the second time I ask them, the third time I get together with them and ask them, and the fourth time I get together and ask them, there is a slow unfolding of openness that begins to happen. Maybe they realize that, okay, this woman is just going to keep asking about sex every time we have sex, so I might as well prepare myself mentally. Maybe these people were not prepared for that question, but they know that I'm going to ask, so they get used to it. But anyway, it could be a rapport thing, like, you know, we start developing trust. So over time, I do notice that if I didn't give up and I'm just chilled about it, I'm just lighthearted about it, I just ask. They might give me a one-word answer. I'm okay with it. I might ask them 1 or 2 follow-up questions, and then I just leave it as it is. And slowly they started to communicate with me more. And this became my story of that I use a lot when it comes to explaining to people who wish to open up a little bit more with their partner, who wish to have little bit more sexual communication and dialogue with their partners, how they can do this. Very simple. Just have 2 questions. How was it? Just wait. How was it? We had sex last night. How was that for you? Don't ask a leading question like, wasn't that good? Don't ask that. Don't ask, was I good? Don't ask that. Those are leading questions. Just keep it open. How was it? They can say as little or as much as they like. And if they say a little bit or it was good, ask them, what was good about it? Could you elaborate which part was better? And by encouraging your partner to communicate, you're really doing yourself a favor because you are opening up that in the relationship. And people who talk about sex, people who discuss it, actually have better sex. What I did not expect was, in my desire to be better in sex for my partner and getting them to communicate to me what they wanted, I ended up becoming the subject of their questions as well. They would turn the tables around on me and ask me, how was that for you? What would you like me to do the next time as well? You asking me all these questions, what about you? How can I make it better for you? How can we explore the next time? And when they turned the tables around on me, I never expected them to ask me these questions. But when they did and they gave me the time and space to think through, I realized that I was asking myself questions that I didn't even ask myself. And that really helped me with my exploration. Because my partners, my sexual partners, were not selfish. I was being generous and they wanted to be generous back to me. And so we have to end because this is the last story that I have time for. And I hope you're getting some ideas of what you can implement into your own life for yourself. Next week, I have a different guest and it's with Veronica. She's going to be talking about female ejaculation. So tune in to Eros Evolution next week and we'll see you. Have a good week. Goodbye.